And now, this.
Stuff will be happening. It's all kinds of cool things, man.
Whew. Okay. Welcome to Nil. My name is Quentin Irie.
And I'm James King.
And this is an exercise in living thoughtful and thoroughly examined lives. It starts each episode when one of us brings a topic from our lives that the other has not yet heard, and we explore that event or feeling or idea or plan or passion or really any subject from our lives that deserves intentional reflection. So really, anything. Then it's all you. You can listen, engage, help us with our lives, and if you choose, embark on this journey with us and dare to live thoughtfully in our community of like-minded people.
Is it me now?
Hello? You know it's you. You're doing a bit now. I can tell when you're being sincere and when you're doing a bit, and you're doing a bit.
I'm gonna start doing that from now on.
No.
Oh man. No. I was listening to the episode yesterday and I was like, yeah, this is gonna be the new thing.
I don't like it.
Well, I'm sorry. I think it's funny. I think everyone thinks it's funny to you.
Everyone thinks it's so funny.
So funny. Anyway, so let's see. This week we are joined by Jackson Allen, who, in addition to being one of my best friends, is also someone who is very I said one of my best friends.
Okay.
Hey. I didn't say my one best friend. My only friend.
I'm going to give that freaking friendship bracelet back if you're not careful.
Do I have to give back the necklace too with the half the heart?
Yes.
A little magnet bracelet or necklace. who, in addition to being one of my best friends, one of my only friends.
Okay.
Is someone who is very active in the political sphere. Also someone who goes to Campbell University out here in Buies Creek with me, as a matter of fact, is someone who is also involved in the Convention of States movement and does that for work, but is here to talk to us today a little bit more about who he is and what he does.
Should be fun. I'm more than anything, I'm excited to just have some more voices involved and kind of build out that community aspect that we were talking about in the last episode.
Yeah. You tired of the echo chamber?
Yeah.
Especially for you that has to edit it.
Dude, it was honestly really entertaining editing us bickering in the last episode. You know, we'd fight about the little details and whatever. That was entertaining for me. Especially because I don't know if you know this. If a topic will be presented, right? Usually sure. It'll be one of us presents it, and then if I have a counter opinion, usually you'll rebut once, sometimes twice. But then if I still come back and I'm like, yeah, but I don't agree, your mm-hmm. default reaction is to just look, is to go, okay, maybe that's right. But you clearly don't really? Believe it at all. Yeah, you're just like, yeah, maybe. And then you just pivot into a totally new subject.
I've never noticed that about myself.
It happened at least three or four separate times in the last episode. I don't know if I kept them all in or not, but it happened more than once.
Well, okay, you found my formula. You've hacked me. That's funny. I never noticed that. I'm too nice, man. I'm too nice to be like, well, I guess we'll have to agree or disagree. But I don't know. Maybe we should argue a little bit more on the show. I think it's
heck yeah, dude.
No, don't agree. You're not supposed to agree with me.
I said, no, let's not go to war. Yeah. I never want to fight.
Yeah. No.
Never.
But see, now I can't be like, that's better, because then I'm agreeing. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Anyway, let's see. This week we have Roast Austin.
Yes, and you did some prep into it this week.
There's a little bit of prep into it.
I'm expecting some good stuff if you did prep.
I don't expect too much. I think he went back and kind of cleaned up the old Twitter a little bit, because I didn't.
He's been deleting tweets?
Maybe. I think 97% are politics of some kind, either retweets or original tweets, and then 3% are like dad jokes and memes. That's my analysis.
Rough ratio right there.
And one or two polls. That's my analysis of Austin's tweets. But I still want a jingle here, man. We got to get a jingle for Austin's tweets before he finds
us.
Yeah, we do. And we can't do it.
Well, you're the more musical out of the two of us. Put down a jingle.
I might think about it. He's once he finds it, I guess we can't really do it anymore, because it kind of defeats the purpose, because then he'll be like, trying to tweet stuff to get us to say, you know what I mean? And I don't.
Maybe we'll start roasting someone else once Austin gets wise.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, what are we roasting? Give me some. I'm hungry.
I have two for your afternoon entertainment here. You can decide which one's better. So the first one is, and I quote, "That new Avril Lavigne song is really good. Haven't heard that in a while, have ya?" End quote.
Okay. When was that tweeted?
Oh, I have no idea. 3 years ago, maybe? 2-3 years ago? I dug for this, man.
Why hate on Avril? Like, I'm not a big Avril Lavigne fan or anything, but that just feels unnecessary.
I don't even know who Avril Lavigne is, really.
She's a singer, musician. She has like a...
I know that.
She has a song that I know, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Because I'm like, I know she's like has stuff that's been used in Vines. And then it's like that Skater Boy, whatever the heck. I don't even know. But like,
I have no idea.
She's like the person who comes up on your on a random playlist, but you just listen to it, and it's not really skippable, but it's like, eh. So
yeah, but like, why so much attack, so much hate? There's so much venom there,
right?
That I feel like is unnecessary. Calm down.
But that also infers that he was at one time an Avril Lavigne fan because he says you haven't heard that,
which is interesting in and of itself.
So maybe 16-17-year-old Austin was a closeted Avril Lavigne fan.
He had the big old poster on his wall and everything. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. Up right above the bed. And the second one, what did two legislators, this is horribly nerdy, what did two legislators do when they are at odds? You want to take a guess?
I do not. I refuse to participate.
They make amendments.
Ooh, I hate that. Ooh, gross. I need to go take a shower. Ugh.
I hate that. What do two legislators do when they're at odds? They make amendments.
I'm having a very visceral reaction to that.
I'm not a violent person, but I'm about to be.
that's bad.
So the first one was at least like innocuous. So I assume you're going to vote for the second one, not because you like it, but because that's the better of the roastable material.
Well, they're both bad and they're both roastable.
Oh, objectively, yes.
But objectively, yes. Demonstrably is the word that I've been using to mock a very specific friend who hopefully is listening.
I like that. I like that word.
Yeah, it is a great word. It's just that he uses it a lot, so I've been just peppering it in.
He wants you to know that he knows it. Yeah. Like dexterous.
We all know it's demonstrable.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's it for today. Austin, when you finally listen and you hear this, give us a tweet, give us a shout out, and we will stop. All you have to do is the ball is in your court. You have all the power.
You have all the power. We really you really need to write down your, because you do that every time. You do a little like, "Hey Austin, we'll stop whenever," but it's clear, like every time it just is so, it's like, "Hey, you know, Austin, we'll stop doing this when you let us know that you're listening to the podcast." Like, we've done this for like 4 or 5 episodes, but we've put no effort into scripting that.
I know, I think it's almost funnier that way, though, because he would definitely probably say that he listens to it, but I just don't believe him. And I won't believe
exactly. I don't either. Well, clearly, because we've been doing this for months and he has yet to say anything.
Until he publicly acknowledges the fact that his tweets are in our podcast. How's that?
Until we get a tweet from Austin. Until the tweet in Roast Austin is about how Austin is in Roast Austin, we will not stop roasting Austin.
Okay, that's fair. Boom. He has to tag the
Nailed it.
He has to tag our page too.
Yes, of course.
Which is at 000 podcast. But he has to tag
get that clout.
Yeah. He's gotta tag it to stop.
Well, what do you say? Have we let Jackson wait enough?
Yes. Let's bring on Jackson.
Does my voice sound weird to anyone else? Just me?
Alrighty, well, we'll let you take it. Kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself. Doesn't matter as little as you want, as mysterious or not as you would like to be. And then we'll go into the rest. So you haven't talked to us about this topic here, so we don't know what you're bringing. So that's kind of the point of the whole show. So we'll get into it. I'm excited to see what you got.
Well, I'm a econ pre-law major at Campbell University out there in North Carolina with James, and it's been a great experience so far. First year of college, almost under our belt here. Once we get back from coronavirus break, yeah, it's been really great. Really been loving economics and just diving into that whole world, and that does kind of tie back into my politics interest a lot, just because I really love the economics, because I love understanding how the country operates, how people operate, and what the incentive structures are, specifically as it relates to public policy and how we can create better public policy and how we can create a government that serves its people better. So that's where I'm at right now. It's what I'm excited to be studying and for the next few years, and hopefully apply that to politics later on. But my political involvement kind of stretches back to when I was 13 years old. The elections of 2012 had just ended. I had gotten really interested in that. But then we had started homeschooling that year. So we started getting involved with the Texas Homeschool Coalition in Austin and going to the Capitol, lobbying, and just really starting to understand the full legislative process. And did that for a couple years, and then started getting involved interning for State Senator Bob Hall here in Texas, and started working on some campaigns, and got involved with Teen Court, which is, I think, something James did as well. It's a real situation with a real case, and the teenagers in there are attorneys and judges, and the idea is to be judged by your peers. And so I did that for a little bit, and that really kind of sparked my interest and got me active in it in something, and kind of started to get me over those initial fears of public speaking and so forth. So I did that for a little bit, and it was actually there that James had come back to Teen Court and talked to me about Patriot Academy, which is a mock legislative leadership academy in Austin. And so the following year, I went to Patriot Academy, and Quentin was there that year as well. And I got started there and really loved that and got involved there as well. So this is probably now my like sophomore year of high school. And at that point, the judge I was doing teen court with, Judge Bill Gravel here in Williamson County, he was starting up his campaign for county judge. So I asked him if I could start getting involved with his campaign. And so he let me come on and work one-on-one with him, knocking on hundreds of doors and going to campaign events and stuff. And at this point, that just really sparked my interest. I really loved being on the ground, meeting the constituents, and really understanding politics from that grassroots level. And so I did that for months with him. Then ended up landing an internship with the Republican Party of Texas, working for the vice chair of the Republican Party, which just gave me even more grassroots knowledge from a top down perspective instead of from the ground up, and really just started to fall in love with that. And really, we won some campaigns and stuff, and really just got interested in that. Went back to Patriot Academy, and then got involved with Congressman John Carter's campaign here in Texas. So I worked for him for a fall while I was homeschooling, and that was my senior year of high school, and I absolutely loved that. That was such a great experience, and that really did give me that broad view of what a grassroots organization looks like from the ground up. Is, you know, we hit thousands of doors, hundreds of phone calls, tons of campaign events, interacting with the constituency. And from there, I currently work while I'm in college for a group called Convention of States Action, which is they're working on the Convention of States project, which would be Article 5 of the Constitution. Has a provision in it that allows for the states to amend the Constitution without it ever going to the federal government. So Congress never has to approve these amendments. And the only way, in my opinion, to really drain the swamp and make a change in Washington is for the states to take that action, because I don't think Washington will ever do that itself. So that's what I'm working on right now. I'm super passionate about that project. It's definitely something, even after this summer, that I'll continue to work with. And I've been doing that since October now. So I've always had a little involvement along the way while I've been doing school and working and stuff. And that's what I want to continue to do, because I think it's so important that citizens are active and involved and making a difference in their government.
That's awesome, man. That's an impressive resume. I mean, obviously, so Jackson and I go back a pretty good way, so I know a lot of that, but it's different to hear you kind of lay it all out in terms of like chronologically in the timeline. That's a lot of stuff, for, especially your age. I mean, man.
Yeah, certainly was. You know, there's a lot of stuff like Patriot Academy that, you know, only happens one week over the summer. And I think in many ways, Patriot Academy trained me for a lot of these other things that I'm doing now. And so, you know, you always can find a way to weave something in.
Right. And I was saying, you didn't mention you're now the governor at Patriot Academy this year.
Yeah, that's true. Last year, it was going to be my last year at Patriot Academy, but then I was like, you know, let's give this a shot. So I ran for governor, won that spot. It's been awesome. Just being in contact with all these different Patriots across the country. And I'm really looking forward to this summer. Hopefully coronavirus doesn't affect it. And yeah, it's just a fantastic experience. Just serving them and preparing for that. It's been awesome.
I think it's really cool that, I mean, I guess in a way it was Teen Court that connected us. I think also more importantly, Patriot Academy, I guess for all three of us there, that all of those roads kind of converge for that 1 week there. I mean, I know for me, yeah. Like, I mean, my career with the Texas legislature would have never happened without Patriot Academy. And it's done a lot for me. Same with Teen Court, same with, you know, Judge Gravel and everything. It's helped, I think, both of us.
So, yeah, a lot. To be a high school student and to be able to work on a U.S. Congress campaign, that having Patriot Academy on my resume and the background that went with it that they knew, it gave me a lot of credibility applying for that position. And I was working with a lot of professionals and college graduates on there as a high school student. So, yeah, it made a huge difference in where I was able to go. And, you know, having now that on my resume has led to my position at Convention States and so forth. So it's been really neat.
Q, you ever put PA in your resume?
Yeah, no, like none of the stuff that I've done has really been relevant to it.
That's what I was thinking, because you're different from both of us in that sense.
Yeah,
you're kind of in a different sphere. I was just curious.
For me, it was more like a fun week that one time, and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. Hung out, did some stuff, and that's the extent of the impact it's had on me. But we've talked about that before. It's always interesting to see, like, especially in that kind of high school range, what really connects and becomes like a lifelong impact for somebody. Because for every, like for you guys, for every Patriot Academy, you know, there's 15, 20, even more things, activities that you did either because you thought you were interested or because your parents thought you should be interested that never amounted to anything. And I have the same things. For me, PA is one of them. But, you know, I have my own PA and my own other activities that were like monumental for me.
Right.
And it's always interesting to see how those hit different people.
It's really interesting to see how certain people too really affect you going through those ages. I know, like, there's a lot of people that they probably, well, I mean, at my graduation, I definitely kind of went out of my way to tell them, but before that, I don't think they would have really known the impact they had on me and, you know, what I ended up going to do or have done so far, because it seemed insignificant to them at the time. But for someone 15, 16 years old, getting their feet wet in these things, it ended up having a huge impact.
I mean, honestly, like for me, that was just that one conversation with Kathy C that pretty much, I mean, sparked the whole thing. And it is pretty cool looking back how those seemingly small interactions have huge, you know, ripple effects. It's pretty cool. And it, you know, I think it highlights the importance for us now that we're in those positions, or, you know, you are definitely as a governor, like being that moving into that mentor capacity, like it's the things you say, the actions you take, you don't know who's watching you. You have, you know, people, kids tell me 5-6 years later, like an NCFCA, like, oh man, you know, I, you know, used to watch you debate and stuff. It's like, I don't know who you are. It's like, all I want to say, like, it sounds bad, but it's like, I was focused on the round or whatever. It's like, it's important to realize people are always watching you when you're moving into that role. And even if you, because like in that case, I had never met this person.
Right. Yeah. For me, it was the same way. Like, yeah, that one time you came to Teen Court to talk about PA. I mean, had you not done that, I may never have ended up at PA. So, you know, that one moment of you just coming there and talking about it, that made a huge impact on my trajectory. And actually, Kathy Say was a part of that too, because I was interning for Senator Bob Hall at the time, and she was working for him. And so I ran it by her, and she was like, oh, yeah, Patriot Academy is awesome. And James was fantastic. I was like, okay, well, I'll go.
I think if I recall, the projector or whatever screen didn't work, so I just, like, improvised something. I don't remember it being
yeah,
all that
that's
good.
Right.
But,
you looked a heck of a lot younger back then, too.
That is true. That is true. That was a long time ago. I'm glad you decided to come. So let's move now into kind of what your vision is here. So I don't know, you know, what direction you're gonna take it as far as what you want to talk about, Jackson. It's totally up to you, and there's no right or wrong. But kind of what you're thinking here in terms of the future. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, something government related or you know, youth and government, that type of thing, or pretty much whatever you want to talk about.
There's two topics I think that are really interesting that I'm involved in. I think
one of them definitely applies to both of you because, you know, we're both young Americans right now growing up and, you know, being politically active. And I think we have a different perspective on it. One, because we're just inundated with information from social media and everything. But I also think, while, you know, there is a lot of fake news out there and probably some very biased news and so forth, I do think, and also just, you know, college campuses in general, you know, the portrayal of them is very leftist, and they certainly are. There's a lot of the professors and so forth on there, let's just say, not teaching something from a middle lane. But at the same time, I think what we've been able to see through social media and being active, at least for me, is that there really is a new younger generation that is very passionate about this country, very grateful to live in this country, and very passionate about making a difference in this country's future, and not just sitting back and, you know, letting this leftist wave take it over, but actually, you know, and not a lot of them aren't even conservative right. You know, I think a lot of them are just passionate about the constitutional rights that they have and the system of government that we have and how important that is for the future of this country. So I think that that's what's fascinating to me watching happen right now is this younger generation that's really active and really passionate about it and really making their voice heard, not just on college campuses, but in the political sphere as well. And that really excites me and gives me a lot of hope going forward.
That is interesting. And, you know, something too that I've kind of noticed, and I'm not sure if it's just like us or, you know, Generation Z as well, which I guess I never really know, because it's like, for me, and for you especially, like, we're kind of right in between that range of millennial and Generation Z. It's kind of, we can pick both. So I don't know. Maybe we should see how Gen Z turns out here, and we can go with that, or then we can always.
I think we'll always be lumped in with millennials as much as we might not want to be.
You two are probably lumped in with millennials. I'm like right on the border there, because I was born in 2000. So depends on where you look.
Pick your fighter.
Depends on what you're doing in that specific moment.
Right. And what crowd you're talking to. But yeah, no.
And how much you like TikTok.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I like some parts of TikTok. I think.
I actually like TikTok by and large. Like, there's some cringe on there, but there's cringe everywhere on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Vine. But no, I was going to say that is interesting in terms of this new generation being so much more politically active. And you see that in the form of not only social media, but also, like, you see, I don't know, a lot more interest to me, it seems like, anyway, and this is just anecdotal. I haven't, you know, done any research on this, but to me, it seems like you see, you know, a lot more memes, a lot more people talking about actual political candidates. I don't think you saw that, you know, back in like the Bush era. And before that, I mean, you have like these, you have college students and high school kids that, you know, they know who Trump is. They, regardless of whether or not they like him, you know, there's a lot of discussion about him. And I think he running from such a almost, I don't want to say celebrity platform, but people knew who he was, right? So like the fact that he was so well known before he ran for the presidency, I think really helped in terms of people getting really involved. And again, whether or not they supported him, you know, they were talking about him. So I do feel like, in any case, people our age now are more knowledgeable about the political candidates. They know who Bernie Sanders is. They know who Donald Trump is. You know, they know who Clinton was. So in terms of, like, there does seem to be a lot more engagement among our age group. And I don't think you saw that 10 years ago.
I think there's engagement on both sides, too, at least more. I think Bernie Sanders has definitely struck a gold mine, too, with his message. I think there's a lot of young people that definitely gravitate toward that. However, we, in this last primary session here, we're seeing that young vote, you know, counting on that young vote isn't working for him because they're not turning out to actually vote. They support him, but they don't actually turn out to vote. I think Trump, though, what I've found, I think Turning Point USA, it's an organization I've been involved in here and there. I think, you know, that whole message has it's been a big part of why there's involvement. I think, and specifically Trump, the candidate, because this nationalist message, not from an ethno-nationalist, you know, white supremacist place, but just from an economic nationalism place of putting America first and valuing the sovereignty of our country. I think a lot of people gravitate toward that. And I think just naturally as human beings, we gravitate toward that. I think we have somewhat of a tribal state, and globalizing the world, I don't think really appeals. I think you can see that with Brexit and what was happening in Italy and Hungary and Brazil and now here. I think there's a certain level of nationalism from an economic standpoint, and just for a love of country, that I think Trump has hit. And I don't think, like, going into this next election, I don't think that number is going to be calculated in the polls correctly. And I think Trump you know, you're going to see him way down in some polls, but I don't think they've calculated the support of the youth that's going to be in here, because it wasn't there last time because they weren't sure he was a conservative, but now he has proven right. He's a conservative, and they love that message that he has.
For me personally, like, I mean, he's won me over in terms of what he's done, and I wasn't sure about a lot of it. So, you know, I went third party. In fact, you know, Quentin and I voted together, and I think you voted for, I don't know, you can talk about who you voted for if you want to. I won't. This is a secret ballot. That's the beauty of the secret ballot.
Yeah, don't expose me, man.
No, I'll let you.
Maybe
go
I'm
that.
Voting for Baby Yoda this year.
Hey, you know, it's your right as an American. But no, I went third party on that, and you know, just seeing the way that Trump's handled a lot, and the stuff that he's said, and you know, the stands that he's taken, I agree with the enormous, you know, amount of his policy decisions that he's made. Maybe not with every personal thing that he said, but, you know, again, it's not really so much about that. It's really about the policy decisions. And I, you know, overwhelmingly agree with that. I'm not in the current field anyway. Can't see any better alternative that even comes close. So, you know, for at least me personally, he's won me over. So, yeah, I think that you're probably right. That is probably true for a pretty big demographic of millennial/college students. But I don't know. What about you, Q? What are you thinking this upcoming?
Well, here's the thing that I'm curious about. It goes a little bit away from the more grand scale of it, but I think it's the thing that I'm personally more interested in knowing from you, Jackson, is, so, you know, we're talking about youth, we're talking about how they're involved. It's interesting, the Bernie example is what I was actually going to talk about, them just not showing up. I found that to be interesting, you know, where youth is happy to meme, but not necessarily to actually vote. But aside from that, the thing I'm more interested in knowing for you personally, for the career that you want, how does this thing, this event, this trend that's happening, how does that affect, how does it change, how does it shape where you want to go, what you want to do? Or if it doesn't affect what you want to do necessarily, how does it affect what you already know you're going to do? Like, what does this mean to you in a more personal sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, it's something I'm really trying to figure out right now, because it really is something, you know, I mean, I'm 19, I still got some time. But at the same time, you know, I have a deep passion for this country and for making a difference there. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure what I want to do in politics yet. I know I want to always be somewhat involved in it, but I'm not opposed to first going into the business world and then going into politics. So I'm still trying to figure that out exactly, but what I do know is I do believe we're at a turning point in this country right now. I think Trump has given us, extended that time. I think the 2016 election was crucial for that. And yeah, I don't want to let that slip away. I think we've kind of got it right now, and I think it's time to push forward. And for me, that's kind of where Convention of States comes into play, because I do believe Trump is authentically, you know, there to break up Washington and break up that swamp. But I also believe that it can't be done by one person and can't be done by the executive branch alone. And I think that's probably a good thing. I think that, you know, the Constitution was framed in that way, that, you know, one branch of government doesn't have enough power to do something like that. So for me, that's where, you know, I always want to be involved in Convention of States, and, you know, I always want to be making a difference in that movement, because for me, that's the movement that's going to radically change our country and our country's future. Bigger than any election ever could.
So when you're talking about, you know, this groundswell, this change, obviously things tend to ebb and flow in terms of who's in power. You know, we go from Obama to Trump and et cetera, or Bush to Obama for that matter. So when you're talking about like sustained significant change, I'm curious, A, what does that look like for you in the grand sense, meaning like what trends do you want to see in the country? But then arguably more importantly, what roles, I know you said you're kind of figuring it out, but what roles do you have your eye on? What roles sound appealing to you, even if they don't necessarily become your final decision in terms of how you would be involved with those changes?
Probably the law field is kind of where I'm heading right now. Right now, my plan would be to go to law school after finishing up my bachelor's, and probably mainly, I think I just have a deep sense of justice. And I, looking around at the political sphere right now, I don't see that justice taking place. And so I would love to take my law degree, get into that field, and really start, you know, pursuing rooting out government corruption, I don't even know how to really explain it, because some of those things, you know, we can't really prove right now, but I also don't feel like there's enough people going after those things to really prove them. I think a lot occurs that we don't really see. You can look at places like Judicial Watch in Washington that does such a great job, you know, rooting these things out, but you know, they're one organization almost putting the whole country on their back right now. So I'd like to see that. That's probably where I'm headed, is into the law field, and then maybe from there into politics. I think that's just where my passion lies right now. I think from a fundamental change point, one thing that I'm really passionate about is our national debt. I think our generation is going to bear the burden of this if we don't turn it around now. And this is going to be a multi-year process to turn something like this around with the entitlements that we have that make up two-thirds of our budget right now, plus the military. So this isn't something we're just going to, you know, 1 year change in a budget. This is something we got to start rolling back now, and it's probably going to take 10 years to do. And, you know, by that point, our debt's going to be somewhere around that $30 trillion mark. And if we're not close to turning around by then, you know, we could be in some deep trouble for our generation in terms of having any shot at rolling this back. So for me, that's definitely a big, big topic that I want to see happen. And I'd say also just, you know, how government represents the people. I don't feel like Congress right now really represents its constituency. And I think that does affect elections, which is good. But at the same time, I'd like to see – I'm not exactly sure how that's going to happen, but – term limits is something that floated. I'm not someone who's 100% behind term limits. I think it could serve as a good tool, but maybe not the perfect tool. So I'm open to other options on that, but I want to see that happen. And then also just government jurisdiction too. I think, you know, the federal government's way too involved in our lives. I think it's overcome the power of the state, where the state should be making decisions. We now have the federal government making decisions. So that'd also be something, you know, with a law degree too, that I'd like to look at figuring out how we roll those things back. And all three of those things are things Convention of States has amendments that they're working on as well. And I'm not sure if amendments are going to make a difference in that or not, but I think it's definitely right now our only shot to do that, unless we try to go through the legal route to relitigate these things.
That's really interesting. I wonder, so what we tend to do, if you listened before, is we tend to get pretty philosophical, like it to kind of the root of what is being approached or what we're thinking of doing and that kind of thing. So I'm wondering, because from my perspective, to fill you in a little bit, and James knows this, I am probably by far my most cynical. I would call myself otherwise an optimistic realist, if those two things are even compatible. When it comes to politics, matters of government, I am by far my most cynical. So, you know, you talk a lot about the changes that you want to see, the things that you think would be good. And by and large, I agree with you. Like, I mean, debt's an easy one, right? I don't think you'll find a person that's like, more debt is better, actually. Everyone can rally around that cause. But when it comes to not only the application, like, you know, when you start saying, hey, buddy, do you think lower debt is better? And they say yes. And then you say, OK, well, you're the one that's getting cut. Then all of a sudden you have people fighting. Right. So
exactly
between just something as simple as that, not even to mention the more complicated political dynamics, the inner workings of an entire system, the red tape, the bureaucracy, etc. Just on a matter like debt, that's not even all that controversial, much less the swath of landmines everywhere else in politics. For me personally, I just end up being like, man, I don't know. I don't care. I've never in any of my elections that I've voted in liked any of the candidates, really. Then I don't see that changing this year. I won't know, obviously, until we get there. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. We'll see. So when it comes to stuff like that, I just end up being very cynical. I'm like, I'm going to let them do whatever they're going to do. I'm going to live my life regardless. And it's much more isolated in that sense. I would rather make an impact in other ways. So that's a lot for someone like you, who seems relatively optimistic and like you want to make a change and all this stuff. So I want you, if you're willing, for someone like me, because I think there's a lot of people like me out there and probably a few in our audience, pitch me on why I should be more optimistic and just more enthusiastic, maybe, if not involved, but just like why I should be more positive around the area of politics and what's possible there.
I totally agree. Honestly, I probably would be someone like you had Trump not gotten elected. I think that's kind of sparked my hope a little bit more that there is a change to be had here. So yeah, I totally understand that perspective. And I don't think everyone, you know, is probably going to be as politically active as I am. However, I do think it's very, very reasonable for people that they know that they can make a difference in politics without it taking a lot of time. And I mean, that's kind of something I work on right now in my current position, which is, you know, just getting grassroots involved from a basic place of either writing a letter to your legislator and just telling them that it makes a difference, or making a phone call to your legislator once a month or something. Because believe it or not, like, those things make a huge impact, especially on the state level. And when we were actually, this is a great story, we were in North Carolina doing a town hall one time, and a legislator showed up, and he flipped sides on what we were working on. And when we asked him why he did it, he pulled out of his pocket, his coat pocket, like, I don't know, it's probably 6 or 7 handwritten letters that he'd gotten from constituents in his district. And he said, this is why, you know, I'm switching. And so I don't think the citizens know how much of an impact they really can have on their government. And that's what I've realized in my journey through this, is it really is easy to make your voice heard, especially on a local level. And yeah, you know, that's probably not going to turn around the debt. And I think that's a huge problem that is probably, you know, we just have to have good people in Washington that are committed to that. And I don't think we have that right now. And that's going to be a bigger project. But I do think there's hope here that, you know, this isn't lost. I think it's easy to get in that sense after Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush before that, that, you know, we would be in that situation. But I do think Trump is breaking up that swamp a little bit. I do think if we can, you know, this next election, you know, goes somewhat in a good direction. And that doesn't necessarily mean who wins it exactly, but just the state of the country after it, I think, is probably more important. I do think there's hope. I do think there's a way for people to make a difference in this without, you know, getting involved or working in politics.
I think that Trump was that person for, in terms of like being the people's champion for Americans that were sick and tired and cynical of the system of government, and the stereotype of those types of people winning, that were out of touch with the common American. And here, you know, along came Trump, who could empathize with that, and I think was able to turn that around for a lot of people, including me.
It doesn't necessarily make me more optimistic. In fairness, I gave you a losing task, Jackson. This is years of cynicism you're fighting, but the thing that I can say is, while Trump isn't that guy for me, I'm glad that there are people like you. You know, the fact that there are people that are enthusiastic and are willing to fight a fight that I'm not, I think that's really important. I mean, it's part of what makes us as people interesting and unique, is that we don't all fill one role. You know, we're not really cookie cutter in that sense, where I am completely disinterested, but there's still very important work to be done. There's a Jackson, there's a James doing whatever the heck James does. We don't even know that yet. Who knows where that's going to land? But, you know, there's people to fill that. So I think that's really important.
My hope is that, you know, this movement that Trump has started, and frankly, it goes beyond Trump. Bernie Sanders is a part of this movement too. He may ideologically be on the other side of things, but what gravitates his base toward him is really the same thing of him, you know, really, he does want to break up Washington and break up the system there. I disagree with how he's going to do it, but the underlying message really is the same. And so I think you're seeing it on both sides, that they're fed up with this. And my hope is that at least on the right, where, you know, I'm going to be working to make a difference there, that, you know, this Trump movement isn't just one blip in history, that it actually fundamentally changes the party, and that the candidates we elect after Trump, because Trump's not going to be the one that gets this done, the candidates we elect after him really reflect that, and we really start to value the American worker and the American middle class again. And so that's my hope for it. I think as that happens, which I'm confident that will happen, for people like you, it's going to be easier for you to get involved and actually make that difference, because I think the parties will represent the people a little bit more than they have in the past.
Right. And Q, I'm glad you do the bare minimum and at least vote, even if you don't like the people. That's good. Because there's this old quote that says that, you know, you should take an interest in politics because politics has an interest in you, even if you're not, even if you're not involved at all. So that is good that you at least do that.
Well,
but yeah,
yeah, I mean, it is really the bare minimum. I get out to vote and that's about it. I try to make an informed vote, do some research in the lead up. And then, you know, I limit my news intake because otherwise I'd be depressed. But I get maybe 10 to 20 minutes of news at, what is it, Tuesday through Friday? Yeah. Tuesday through Friday, I get 10 to 20 minutes of news a day, just like the highlights from national and whatever's going on. And that's enough for me. I know what's going on more or less. I'm like, okay, cool.
You know, voting reserves your right to complain. So that's, you want to be able to have that.
You know, I want more complaining built into voting. I was talking to a friend of mine, a similarly cynical friend of mine, interestingly, about this the other day, especially given both of our experiences in the last presidential election. You know, we're coming up to another one. The circus is starting all over again. Delightful, delightful. And so we're talking about that and like, who are we going to vote for? All this stuff. The option that I want, Jackson, if you ever have the opportunity to make this happen, I'll love you forever. You just need to make this a thing.
I'm sure that's very motivating for Jackson, the fact that you'll love him forever.
I'll love him forever if you make this happen. I want on the ballot an option to abstain. I want to be able to say, hey, I showed up. Because the thing is, if people like me don't like anyone, like if I'm like, none of you represent me, frankly, I don't trust most of you as people, much less leaders, then my only option, if I want to make it known that I at least showed up, is to check some box that I don't really like. I'm not a huge fan of the lesser of two evils argument. Well, yeah, but there's not an option for that in the ballot.
Wouldn't that just be the equivalent of like a protest vote? Like, wouldn't that just be like, you know, like Baby Yoda? Like a protest vote, I feel like would signify that.
See, but that gets written off. That's the thing. All the current options get written off either because my options are either A, I don't show up, in which case the reporting around it is, oh, stupid youth doesn't know voting is important, doesn't show up. B, I write in something, you know, D's nuts did really well last time around. But again, that is a form of protest, sure. But again, it's written off as a joke. Like, no one's taking that seriously. I want the option to say, no, I take this seriously. I showed up and I still don't like any of you. I check my abstain or present not voting, whatever you want to call it. I want that.
I actually really like that idea. I think you're right. There's a certain segment of the voting population that's not currently reflected. And I think, you know, personally, I'd like to see us move away from a two-party system. And I think there is,
absolutely,
in the ideological section, there's at least room for a third party, maybe a fourth or a fifth. But at least for a third, which I think is very possible, there is a section there. For someone like me, I just believe I'm always going to cast my vote for one of the two parties right now because I just want my vote to count. However, mm-hmm. I do know a lot of people like you who would prefer not to vote for one of the two candidates because they feel that they don't represent them. And they either, you know, do a write-in vote or hold their breath and vote for the Green Party or the Libertarians or something. And, you know, those don't really represent them either. And frankly, I don't think either one of those parties will be that third party that fills the gap. So I think you're right. I think if we had that place of present not voting or abstaining from voting or something that shows, okay, like this is the segment of the population that showed up to vote but wasn't represented with one of the candidates there, I think that would only propel us toward a third party taking place that kind of bridged, probably right now it probably bridged that left middle gap a little bit that's not necessarily socialist but, you know, still socially liberal. In a sense, and doesn't, you know, they can't come to the right because they're not pro-life or don't value the Second Amendment maybe as much as some of the people on the right do, or, you know, those issues like that. But at the same time, fiscally, they're not quite in Bernie Sanders' camp. And I do think there's a segment of the population there that would definitely get behind that for sure. I love that idea.
Because, I mean, it's all about representation, right? Making sure that we know what the people think. And I think you're right. There's a lot of people that don't like it.
Well, I think too, I mean, this is what George Washington warned of, you know, back in the beginning, is
the two party system. Yeah.
Party. Yeah. And we, you know, haven't heeded those words, and we're paying the price for it right now. And I think the only way we get out of it is if we turn away from the system a little bit. But it'll be tough to make that happen for sure.
So you said you had two for us, Jackson. What's the second?
The second one is what I touched on a little bit with Convention of States here. To me, this really is the movement that, you know, most people don't know about. But for someone like you, Q, who is, you know, doesn't see the value in politics and in this two-party system, to me, this is the movement that really is going to make the difference, because it goes beyond elections. It goes beyond, you know, the next term of congressmen who go up there and, you know, show what they're made of and all this stuff and then get nothing done and make all these promises and never make it happen. And for me, when you look at Congress and you look at the federal government, it has to be a fundamental change. It can't just be a change in the people that are there. It actually has to structurally change. And so what Convention of States does is they're using Article 5 of the Constitution, which was a provision that George Mason led when they were writing the Constitution. And it's not to be confused with the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. It's Article 5 of the Constitution. And in there, what it allows to do is, with this overwhelming majority of the states, to go in. So this is what we're working on right now. We go around to each state capital, and we're trying to pass the same resolution in 34 states, which means each house, both houses in each state have to pass the resolution. And if we can get 34 states to do that, we don't have to have a governor's signature. If we can get the legislatures in 34 states to do it, we get to call a convention of states that Congress doesn't have any say in. And all 50 states, not just the 34, all 50 would come. And right now we cover three things, which are putting term limits on Congress, having a balanced budget amendment, and reducing the jurisdiction of the federal government, which has to do with like the Commerce Clause and stuff. We can get into more if we need to. But basically what this will do is allow these 50 states to come together. Anything that passes at the convention has to be germane to those three subjects. And then it has to go back to each state capital and be ratified by 75% of the states, which I think is 38 states. And then that becomes an amendment to the Constitution. So if we can pass something that, you know, rolls back some of these Supreme Court cases, like, you know, the Constitution, you've had a pocket Constitution before, you know, it can fit, you know, pretty much in any pocket of jeans or a sport coat or something. The Constitution now is more like if you took two or three textbooks and stacked it on top of each other because of how many litigated cases there are in there that make up the Constitution. And you can order from the Library of Congress, it literally just says the U.S. Constitution. Like, this is what our country is run by now, not that pocket Constitution anymore. And we need to roll that back to that. So, you know, I think Congress will never do this to itself. They'll never pass these amendments that would make a huge difference in how our country is run. And to me, this is an exciting movement because it goes beyond politics. It's no longer just about Democrats and Republicans. This is a movement that has 75% support among independents, 65% amongst Republicans, and 55% amongst Democrats, because this is something I think all Americans see needs to happen. And I think this is a movement that can finally do that.
I do like the idea of putting it back in the state's hands. You know, I mean, because we've talked about this before, I don't oppose it, certainly. I think it's a good idea. I'm still, like, not completely sold on its effectiveness in terms of, I guess, it might be, you know how people, like, don't like sports teams because of the fan base? And this doesn't include you, of course, Jackson, with convention. But just a lot of people that I've met that are advocates of Convention of States, and certainly not COS. I think y'all do a good job. Just, like, certain individuals that I've known before I, you know, was really well aware of that cause have kind of turned me off to that because of the way that they presented it as being like this, you know, I don't know, silver bullet for solving every single problem in this country. And while I think it could be an effective means, if we can get to that point, I don't know that it should be kind of treated by these certain people as like this thing that will solve every single problem in America. And that's kind of the way that it's presented by those people. I think that y'all do a great job with messaging, but that's for me is kind of why I'm like, I certainly wouldn't vote against it. I mean, I think if we get to that point, it'd be great. But my two hesitations are, A, can we get to that point? And B, you know, how much could we actually fix? You know what I mean?
I agree. I don't think it'll fix everything that we need to fix in this country. But I do think when you look at how the founders set up the Constitution and they put this provision in there, this provision is for a time like this because right now the people don't have a voice in the power, which is how our Constitution was set up. It was set up for a self-governing populace. And, you know, right now, the way that our federal government has moved away from that, the people don't really have that say in the federal government anymore because of the bureaucracy that's there and sure. the Supreme Court cases that have been passed and so forth. So this really is the tool that they gave us to use at a time like this. And yeah, you're right. It's not going to solve everything, but it does, I think, take a huge step in the right direction. And it's one of those things, too. The beauty of how they set it up is we you can't pass any partisan things through this. I mean, yeah, 34 states, but the reverse of that, or actually even more, the 38 states to ratify it, the reverse of that is it only takes 13 states to stop anything. So this has to be something right. that's a broad coalition amongst both things. I mean, 13 states to stop things, that's 13 committee chairmen across the country can stop it, basically. And sure. So, yeah, I agree. It's not gonna you know, solve this country completely, but I do think it's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, I mean,
I think going back to that, just real quick, that is an important principle in terms of not necessarily a vocal minority, but like you have enough of a chance for something not to pass through. I think that's great because it kind of stays with the concept of we designed the entire legislative process to be hard to pass bills, and that's a good thing. Like more legislation
is a good thing.
Not necessarily and inherently good. We don't want to be passing more bills than we kill. So I think that it is a good thing for it to be hard to get to that point. So I guess in a sense that does stick with our founding principles, you know, not only separation of powers, but the ability for someone to stop something coming through the process and for it being difficult. Something you have to overcome to pass it. Go ahead, Q. Sorry.
Yeah. Rude. Jeez. All I was going to say is that, you know, I don't necessarily have an opinion on this specific idea or system, simply because this is the first time I'm hearing about it, so I would have far from an informed opinion. But the thing I will say with that caveat that I can't have an informed opinion on the system itself is that I do like the idea just the fact that there are people trying to find creative ways to make a change and work and like just a recognition of the fact that the system as it is right now isn't very conducive to change and therefore being creative around it. I feel like a lot of the political conversations I've had with the more politically inclined, the politically motivated are, and granted, these conversations have been with relatively young people who maybe still have a little bit of that naivete, so they may well come to this place as well. But a lot of those end with, you know, oh, I just think I can make a change from the inside, or, you know, the system is built to for this change, I can do this, and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't think you can. But so to see people being more creative in their approach to it and finding something that works with the acknowledgement of the fact that the current system is not exactly open to reform, I think is really good to see, regardless of who's innovating it, and then hopefully, you know, the right people can make that change.
what was the quote we always heard in debate about? I think it was Einstein about doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Is like,
yeah, I'm not convinced that was Einstein. Have you ever actually tried to find the citation for that?
There were those in the like silence is consent, which I'm like, that is was certainly not a legal principle in any case.
Yeah, there's a lot of sketchy quotes that people just throw out.
Yeah, like, that's definitely not
I've been told that quote many times before too. I don't know. I've never actually looked it up either.
See, exactly. No one does. They're just like, oh, Einstein said it. Awesome. Anyway, the principle that you're trying to say, James, is accurate. The insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results or whatever.
I think when you look at the Declaration of Independence, yeah, there's multiple parts in there that I think lead to the fact that at the end of the day, you know, we can't rely on our federal government. You know, it is ultimately the responsibility of the people to affect their government. And, you know, not to say that it's the people's fault that it's got to the place it is, but it is our responsibility to change it. And, you know, you look at the part where it says, like, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government to provide new guards for their future security. I think that's probably one of the most important quotes. I mean, we always take the part at the beginning that says, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And that part, and that is important for sure. But at the end of the day, I think this country was designed for the people to be active, to be involved, to make their voice heard and to affect their government. So I think we've moved away from that beyond elections. And I think it's time for the people to come back around to this. And I think it's going to happen too. It may not happen in 5 years, but I think eventually this is going to happen. I think we will have a convention of states at some point. I think right now, convention of states, the action, the group I work for, which is, there's a few other Article 5 movements out there, but we alone have 4 million grassroots supporters, and that's definitely an exponential number. So I think the more people hear about this, the more they get involved in it and see that, you know, government doesn't just have to be through, you know, your local congressman or the president that's in office, but that the people can go in there and make a change. I think, one, it's very empowering to the citizens of this country, and two, I think it's ultimately what's going to make a difference for them.
I think I agree with all of that, except for the fact that you said that we all know the declaration. I think you left out Joe Biden.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
That's a whole nother topic that's super concerning.
Good stuff. Well, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty natural conclusion. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think the message I would just give to everyone is that, like, what I've learned through my experience in politics, beyond working in politics and all that, like, you know, that's for a certain few that want to get involved in that. But for me, what I've learned just in my involvement is government isn't something that's that far away from you. Like, government is something that you really can, if you put a lot of time into it, like me, you can make a lot of connections and, you know, really make a difference and work in it. But at the same time, I totally understand the perspective too of, you know, being a citizen and wanting to pursue happiness in other fields. And I think that's the beauty of this country, is that it's designed for you to do that and still be able to affect government and affect what, you know, protect your rights and affect your future too. So my message to everyone would just be that, despite maybe not having the most interest in politics, just be informed and make your voice heard, whether it's a simple email to your legislator or a phone call or something. That stuff makes a huge difference in the end. And active citizens are the ones that really make a difference, not just lobbyists and so forth. They do make a difference, lobbyists and stuff, but active citizens also make a huge difference.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for coming on, Jackson. Do you want to plug anything, where people can find you, stuff you're working on, anything like that?
I'm launching a new website, actually. I was telling James about this last week. It's going to be called Jack's Facts. I'm working on some stuff for it right now. The website is live. Right now it's jacksfacts.online. But you can go look for it there right now. I'll be posting articles every week, and mainly there's actually one up there about convention states right now. It's about self-governance, but it kind of ties into convention states a little bit. And just, I'll be kind of opinion editorials that just kind of go away from the mainstream thoughts of the media and so forth, and just try to root it back in facts and what is actually true, and how we can apply these things to our lives. So you can go look for that there. I'm kind of working on launching that right now. And then you can go www.conventionstates.com too. That's where most of my work is going right now into moving that forward. And there's just a lot of great ways you can learn about it on there and see how it applies and how you can get involved on there too.
Well, thank you for coming. Thanks for sharing. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm telling you, something is off.
I don't know if we have anything huge to talk about in wrap up. We got new episodes coming
out.
We're
both healthy.
We got a new intro. Sounds good. We both, I mean, I have a cough. I had strep a few weeks ago.
I was going to suggest another reason for that, but we'll try to keep this podcast.
No. Okay. Come on, James. Come on. You know, we didn't talk at all in the intro very much because I think we were focused on getting to Jackson. But like, how you doing, man? You got any life updates? You doing good?
I'm good. I would say comment below if you would like me to go to UK and get injected with coronavirus and talk about it in the next podcast.
Yes.
One screenshot and I'll do it.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I don't know if that got recorded or not, but it is a valid question because it's like, what, $7,000 to get injected with it so they can test the vaccine or whatever?
$7,000. I think it's non-taxable, and the flight over would probably be super cheap right now. So, and in fact, they might cover that.
Yeah, for real.
So yeah, it's $7,000 to gamble with your life. It's an exciting.
I vote yes.
And I mean, on the plus side, you know, I might not live. So you got that. So. Get that to look forward to.
Wow, that got depressing.
A little millennial humor for you.
I don't like, I like, I'm, it's not that I don't like dark humor, But when it's a, I think I have a higher tolerance for dark humor when it's a character. Like if it's a movie and someone made a joke like that, I could be like, okay, fine. But when it's someone I actually know and they do that, I'm like, ooh. Or even not someone I actually know, but just someone who is a person and not a character. I was like, ah, I don't like that. It's just a little too real, I think, for me.
Classic James deflection, incoming. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, whatever.
I know you're joking. I assume you're joking, but what if it's a defense mechanism? I don't know.
That's true, you don't know. Maybe you should call me a little more often. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm joking. But
hey, babe, what's up?
Yeah, so, no, I'm good. I'm good. Doing well, staying healthy. They closed Campbell for Corona yesterday.
Yeah, A&M is closed down too. Danielle doesn't have any... Well, she has online classes now.
Which, for me, I mean, I got a statistics professor. Well, I shouldn't probably say who. Well, whatever. I have a statistics professor who can't figure out how to use a dry erase marker, so it's going to be really interesting to see how we handle online classes.
I am going to send him or her this podcast personally. Yeah,
well, I would be worried about that again if they could figure out how to use a dry erase marker. But if they can't, if we can't launch online classes, I don't think they're going to much less be able to find my our very, very well trafficked podcast.
Of course. Very well. No, that's good, man. Yeah, I it's been a crazy couple weeks. I took on a new project, so I'm working around 10.5 hours a day for other people, and then I do my own stuff kind of before and after and in the middle if I can. So it's been kind of insane.
How's your male stripping thing going?
Oh, well, you know, it's going surprisingly well. You wouldn't think there'd be a market in rural Texas, but let me just tell you, it exists.
There's a big underground.
It's there.
Well, good, that's good to know, man. You're doing well.
Yeah. No, the work has been good. The nice thing is, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I've had the goal for the last year or so to be fully employed as a creative by 2021. Yes. So I've been kind of working towards that, and I'm about to achieve it. Like, I've put all the pieces in place. Everything is done. There's not really anything left for me to do but continue to work and do well. And if I can do that, then the pieces will fall as they ought, and I will be fully employed by a creative within the next few months.
Dude, that's exciting, man. Next few months, so before 2021, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well before, ideally. I'm super excited about it. I've been thinking about, like, this has kind of been my horizon. You know, I don't plan super detailed. I take individual steps, obviously, and like I plan as much as is necessary, but I try to hold all things loosely. So it's more of a horizon, but I'm super excited to achieve it early even. And I already have an idea for my next horizon. And that'll probably be an episode of Nil, actually. So look forward to that.
Great. Hey, I'll be graduating in 2021. We'll have some big steps. Speaking of which, who has the subject next week? Is that me or you?
Wait, who brought it? I brought it last week. This one was Jackson, so next one's
you. Well, I brought Jackson on, though, so.
That doesn't count as your topic.
It wouldn't have been.
No, it does it not. Absolutely not.
Had it not been Jackson, so I brought Jackson. So
absolutely not. Nope, you have a topic next time. Don't be ridiculous.
I don't know, man.
I know you're right now.
Co-host. You're not the host.
No.
No. You're not the boss.
I'm making the putting my foot down and making a decision.
Okay. I mean,
does that sound powerful to you?
That's, oh, yes. Very authoritative. let's see. Anything good. Else we need it to should. Hit? We tried to do the buzz game, but I probably won, so that's cool. Let us know what you want.
Well, yeah, because I suck at counting now.
You suck at counting?
I don't think it's
now.
That.
You've never been good at counting. That was your... You didn't pass counting. That's why you couldn't graduate high school.
The class counting. I failed.
That was your one thing. Algebra, you were fine. For some reason...
I passed algebra. No. Yeah. I passed algebra, but I failed counting.
Counting just wasn't your thing. Yeah. Once they give you the number, you're fine. It's just it's getting to that number. Like, you don't know where to start.
Exactly. It's intimidating, okay? I don't like to talk about it.
Sorry.
No, that's good. We'll bring the tick game back next time. It's always harder to do it with a guest. I think.
Because you stutter over tick.
So I think that's good. We will be back next month with a new podcast. So look forward to that. Pay attention to what we're doing on social media because we're going to be more active on social media this month and building stuff up. It's going to be awesome. It's a lot of exciting things going on. Where can the people find you if they want to find you on social media, James?
I am currently still at Real James King on Instagram and Snapchat. Give me a follow. I will follow you back. Unless you're a weird like, spam account, then I will not follow you back.
And if you want to know what I'm up to, you can go to
QuentinIrie.com. That's QUENTINIREY, all one word. .com.
You can see all the different projects I'm involved in, including this, various other things, and all my social media is linked there as well. You can follow the show at 000 podcast on all social media, maybe even TikTok soon. We've been talking about doing a TikTok. I think TikTok would be fun.
Comment below.
There's potential there.
Comment below.
Should we get a TikTok?
Let us know.
Should we be e-boys? I feel so old using the term e-boy because I honestly don't understand it.
I really don't know what it means either. Yeah, that's a good point. Because you have e-girls. I don't know. That was like the big thing for a while.
It probably means something sexual and I'm going to regret saying it.
I'm definitely going to save that soundbite there.
Perfect. Well, I think that's all that we have, James.
And now, Neil presents QuentinIrie actually losing his mind.
So we will see you all next month. And in the meantime, be definitely checking us out on social media. We'll be active. We'll be making stuff. Stuff will be happening. It's all kinds of cool things, man. All kinds of cool things. All kinds of cool things.
What in the world is that? No one talks like that. What is that voice?
I wasn't imitating anyone.
No one even... Oh, my God.
Anyway. Good night, Austin.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night. And God bless America.